We would like to acknowledge that this podcast is recorded on the traditional lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.
We pay our respects to elders both past and present.
Scream Queens.
Welcome to Screen Queens.
This is a podcast where two comedians watch, review, and gossip about everything on your screens. My name is Alex J. I am a writer, comedian, podcast producer.
And my name is Beck Charwood. I'm also a writer, comedian, podcaster.
Radio presenter. It's very cool, dude.
Thank you. No, that feels like a brag now. Now I have to say something uncool. I'm allergic to dogs. Fuck! Can I say
that is the uncoolest thing about
almost you? Maybe like edit it out, because the way that people act like it's a personal attack when I tell them I'm allergic to dogs. I don't want to be allergic to dogs. I want to pat them so badly. I love them so much. I just have to give them this weird, intense eye contact to be like, I love you, but I can't touch you.
I reckon the dogs are fine with it. It's the humans that are fucked up about it.
It fucks people up.
I've seen it in real time.
Yeah.
You telling people that you're allergic to dogs. And honestly, it's like people think it's a choice.
Mm. It's like I'm actually right wing. They're like, oh.
It's like you said, I like to kick dogs.
Mm.
I hate dogs.
Yeah.
I'm just physiologically allergic to them. Got to pop a Telfast, even the Telfast though, that doesn't really touch the sides.
Hives. Yeah. Full on hives.
Cats too.
Yes. Yeah. My throat closes up. It's messy.
But you and Puppy do have a lovely relationship as auntie and nephew. Puppy is my cat, everyone, if you don't know. But you don't see each other very much, but you catch up on the phone.
Yes. He knows you're around. You send me pictures every now and then. I think that's nice.
Yeah.
It's a long distance thing.
Yeah.
The distance is exactly 2 meters apart.
Wherever
even in the same dwelling. Yeah.
The distance is always outside meetings.
Yes.
How are you, my love?
Good. Oh, my God. I've been watching stuff.
You've been watching stuff. Let's do that before we jump into Baby Reindeer.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay. So other things that I have watched this week, of course, I've been on the OC train. I got up to the part where Marissa dies. Happened so much sooner than I thought it would.
Right.
Rattled me.
Yeah.
I cried so hard.
It's a God, I can remember it. I haven't seen it in 20 years.
It was so a shock. Because they were wrapping up season 3 and I was like, oh, Marissa's going away. That's so weird. It was all there. I was so dumb. Marissa's going away.
It's like they're writing her out of the script.
Yeah, I guess she's going to come back at some point in season 4 and then die. But
oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so tragic.
And then I was disappointed that Mochise didn't play. It was Alleluia instead. I was like, oh. So I'm in season 4 now, and I am on the fence about continuing.
Mm.
But please let me know your thoughts in my DMs, comments, anywhere you can to sway me one way or the other.
Cool.
Shogun, fallen off.
Interesting.
I tried. I can't.
Okay.
It's too – there's – before bed, I'm not ready for subtitles. Mm. That many subtitles.
And look, we've done a lot of subtitles this year. I'm very proud of us, patting us on the back.
We're the best.
We're basically bilingual at this point. We can take a break.
Yeah. Oh, also, RuPaul's Drag Race, season 16. Love the result.
Great.
Congrats to Nymphia Wind. Shout out. Love you, baby girl.
Yay. She sounds lovely.
She's amazing. Oh, my God. She's so pretty and silly.
Pretty and silly. Yes. Absolutely, yes.
The perfect combo. Yes.
Speaking about something that is neither silly nor pretty. Let's get on to Baby Reindeer.
Yes. We originally were just going to do the next 2 episodes, and then there's no way you can watch this in allotments. Everyone I know is like, I watched it in one sitting.
Yep. Yeah, because it's still so easy. I love it. Half an hour episodes. Oh, not daunting at all.
Yes, and it doesn't fuck around with the plot. There's no point in this where a scene is dragged out.
You're never bored.
And you could tell it's similar to Fleabag because it's based on an hour-long Edinburgh show.
Honestly, it's like, yay, the boys have a Fleabag now.
Yes, well.
I think this one's more for the girls.
This one is, I mean, complicated as fuck.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we did 1 and 2 last week, and now we're going to do the rest of the season, the series. because it's very much a one and done series, I think.
If the creators are listening, please do not do a season two. Don't do a season two of this. What would fucking happen? It's like, I think... No, don't do a season two.
I'm talking to them directly, Beck. Stop eavesdropping.
No, what you've done is great. Leave it. Leave it. What would season two possibly be about?
Let's get there when we get to the end.
Okay. All right.
I did love the ending. Okay. So, ep 3 through 7. I like to think of this series as pre and post ep 4.
Okay. Yeah. Let's just put a blanket warning up top.
Yes.
Trigger warning for discussion about sexual assault.
Yeah.
Assault, grooming.
Rape, everything. Right. It's ep 4 especially.
Being an audience member in an awful, awful comedy show.
Sure.
That's also a traumatic experience.
That is, we need to warn that.
Some people have said to me, they're like, the reason that they pulled out is because just watching him, the Edinburgh scenes of having a show that's bombing in Edinburgh was too hard for them to watch. I was like, babe, imagine being the comedian on stage.
Imagine living it. ep 4 especially, and the show does this as well. They do a warning before the episode, and then they do resources after the episode. But ep 4 is especially they delve into his past and his past trauma. But ep 3 is when
ep 3 is where Martha starts showing up to his house where he's living with his ex-girlfriend's mum, which like. To anyone else, is like, that's an insane thing. I was like, I could name 5 comedians off the bat that probably live that way. We're not, as much as I like to be like, we're just like everyone else. There's something about comedy that does mess with your brain.
Well, it's the free rent thing. Mm. Like every comedian at some point has lived in some weird situation where they're not paying for rent. I myself did it. I house sat a deceased estate for 6 months.
Really?
Yeah. It was before I met you. So it was the pre-times. Doesn't count.
Like we would have spoken about this at one point.
Remember my spooky house in St. Leonard's? Before I moved to America.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Mm. But, you know, so everyone, we can talk about it on the Patreon. It did not surprise me. I was like, oh, this is so awkward. But I was like, no, every comedian, because you have a job that doesn't pay.
Yes.
And you need to have time to do that job. So a lot of comedians can't juggle the full-time job wages. Yes.
And you have to leave. This is going to sound so silly, but you have to leave your schedule open because often stuff will come up at the last minute and you have to
almost always stuff comes up at the last minute. Yeah.
It's almost like the entire industry is run by people who have organizational issues.
Organizational skills. Yeah, it's not in an exciting way, like opportunities just spring up all the time.
Yeah.
They've known about this show. Yes. They just don't book it until day of or whatever.
And it's like, would you like to go to Kiama for 3 days? You have to leave in the next hour.
We'll pay you $100.
Yes. So I will be in Kiama next week. So anyone.
And that's an excellent gig.
And that's actually a good gig.
Yeah.
I think it's on the 3rd or the 2nd of May. Cute. Just look up Comedy in Kiama on those dates. I'll be at that show.
So he's living at home with his ex's mum and she's lovely.
She's an angel and she runs a cooking class in her kitchen and Martha shows up to this class.
So she's broken a boundary. She's stepped over a line that you can't get back from. She's entered his world.
Yes.
She's not just pestering him at work and via email. She's in his house now and she's putting this beautiful woman that's taken him in at risk, essentially.
Mm-hmm. And so he doesn't want to tell the mum what's going on. Martha's also given her a false identity. So he's trying to be like, you can't let this woman stay over. And she's like, it's my house, cunt. Fuck off.
She's sitting by the fucking bus stop all the time.
Yes. Yeah,
right
watching
the house.
For 16 hours. Like sitting there from when he wakes up to when he comes home from work is...
So I feel like this is where we really get into like the psychosis of it, because that's not just turning up to his work and chatting to him all day anymore and firing off a bunch of emails. Like that's, putting her body at risk. Like when does she go to the toilet?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. Like what is she? She's obviously not eating because then she's like.
I didn't even think about the toilet thing.
Hypothermia. Like.
Yeah. Where is she pooping and pissing?
I think just around the corner in the bush or something. That's like, you know that she's had some kind of psychotic break at this point.
Yes. Yeah. Because she's just there, until she gets hypothermia. And then he has to take her back to her house because he's like, I don't want this bitch to die, even though she's scary as hell.
Mm.
And then he sees that she actually has a law degree.
Yeah.
Which is nuts. Which that was the craziest reveal so far. It's like, oh, she's not lying about being a lawyer.
Mm. Then there's the comedy competition. Mm. This is the semis.
Yes.
And Terry turns up. Yes. So they're not speaking. They're not on speaking terms at this point.
Mm.
But Terry turns up and so does Martha.
Yes. And Terry is like, oh, wow. Like at first excited to be like, oh, wow. Like this is, I get to see who this crazy person is.
Mm, finally, I've heard so much about her.
Yeah. And then that thing that I think got us all hooked into the series of being like, oh, a stalker. Well, that's a bit salacious.
100%.
And we see in real time the realization of how fucking terrifying it is. And it's like, oh, this isn't just like a fun gossipy thing. This is someone who is a threat
to safety.
Mm.
And then I just remembered how the episode ends.
Yeah. So what happens is there's the competition. Martha heckles. Is this, it kind of goes well again or no, it goes awry.
It goes awry because I just remember thinking, like, which is funny with what's happened since with Archibald. I'm like, why is no one throwing her out?
Yeah.
She starts heckling a lot and no one's throwing her out.
Yes. And heckling crazy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so then Terry and Donnie kind of make up and escape to a bar down the road to try and get away from Martha.
Mm.
And then they kind of have this nice moment. They reconnect. And then Martha shows up to the bar.
Yes. And physically assaults Terry.
Bashes the fuck out of Terry. It's crazy.
Rips Terry's hair out.
Ooh, that shot where you see the scalp. Oh. It's a great show. It's such a good show.
Yeah. And so anyway, then somehow through that it bonds Terry and Donnie. He doesn't go to the police. No, he goes to the police at the end of this episode. And when he goes to the police, he doesn't mention that she's assaulted. He doesn't mention any details.
He doesn't say anything about Terry.
We're back where the series started.
Yeah.
And we're like, hold on, we're on episode 3.
Yeah.
I thought this would be the very end.
Mm.
And he reveals that he doesn't yet do any details.
And basically Terry is saying, like, you could tell them about what happened to me. Like, this is, she stepped it up. Mm. Now this is like an arrestable offense. And Donnie's still wrestling with his shame around dating a trans woman. Mm. So does not mention Terry at all. It's so complex.
Yeah. And at this point you're thinking, this guy kind of sucks. Like something, what's wrong with him?
Mm.
And then he goes, you're probably wondering why I didn't say those things. I was like, yes, I was.
Let me introduce you to episode 4.
Fuck me dead. I would say if you are planning on watching this series or you are partway through and you have strong feelings to sexual assault, I would say just read a synopsis of this one.
Yeah.
Visually, it was very hard to watch.
Yeah, I walked out of the room, especially during the main trauma scenes.
Yes.
But F4 starts very whimsically. He's at Edinburgh. He's doing his solo show.
Yes.
It's terrible.
Which everyone is, for anyone that doesn't know, Edinburgh is the biggest fringe festival. Yeah. And if you're a punter, it seems like a wonderful thing. Comedians, it is such a gamble. It costs a lot of money. And you go and you do a show for free for a month.
Mm.
And the idea is over time, you gain traction, you get to work the show in, and maybe you make some money. Maybe you get to meet a lot of people. It, from the outside, looks like a really fun time.
It does.
Internally, I've seen it break people.
Like, I don't, I think it would break me.
Yes. And that's kind of shown in this of, like, how hard it is. He's doing a gig in the corner of a pub where there's no stage.
There's no venue. Like, the venue does not cater to comedy. And that's, like, Melbourne's not so much that. Melbourne's very much, like, on per. Well, most of the rooms, anyway.
We can't get into our thoughts. Join us on the Patreon.
Edinburgh, especially, because then there's the non-Edinburgh fringe as well, where, like, it's just, it sounds just like any corner of any building could become potentially a comedy room.
Yes.
But there's no allowances made for it.
Yes.
And that's the kind of run. And I think this show is so honest and so real, and I think this has to have been his actual, like, experience.
Well, I've gone back and I've looked at his older sets online because I'm fascinated by it, and tons of the material that he does in this, he was actually doing.
So he was the props guy?
Yes.
Interesting.
I haven't seen any props, but I've seen a lot of the jokes.
Yeah. Because what he does is he does the show, and God, it's such a good representation of, like, figuring out where you're at in your stand-up journey, and he's got like a leotard on and bare feet on stage.
Yes,
like
beep, beep, wig. Boop, boop. Yes.
He's got jokes.
Yes.
There's jokes, but it's just couched in this. And oh, in the comedy competition in Amp 3, he introduces the, like, he does like a sting of his own name that
oh,
he plays.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, we've Donnie all been, Dunn.
We've all been through that phase. It's beautiful. I love it. But he, yeah, he has a really like shitty kind of run until this writer randomly, like, you assume a big wig writer.
Yes. Approaches him at a artist bar. Mm. And he's feeling very out of the loop, and you can see that he doesn't really know anyone there, and he's trying to meet people.
Yep.
And
oh,
he's very vulnerable.
Yep.
And so this writer comes in and is like, actually, I'm going to make your show great. And he comes to the show every night, which is a psychotic thing to
very
do.
Psycho, very psycho.
Yeah. My own manager doesn't, if I do a run of shows, doesn't come every night, and I wouldn't want to.
I judge my techs for being there every night, and it's their job.
Yeah, why don't you leave?
Get out of here.
Get out of here. And so he helps him work in the show, and they build this thing together.
Heaps of people start coming. It's honestly a dream festival run.
Yeah, and this feels like the first friend he's made in comedy.
Yeah.
And so he's deeply bonded to this man. And
mentor almost.
Yes. Yes. And at the end of Fringe, he feels like they've built this beautiful thing together. Fringe ends, and then he texts him, let's catch up. He hears, oh, and there's also the promise of being like, hey, send me some scripts.
Yes, I'll help you write. I'll help you punch them up. I'll present them to people.
Yes, I'm going to give you a lot of opportunities. He ghosts him. So this character's name is Darian. Then what happens is months later, out of the blue, Darian calls him up and is like, let's talk about the script. He goes to talk about the script. Turns out that's not what Darian wants at all. He wants to do a bunch of drugs and get fucked up together.
Mm.
And then what proceeds is a very abusive situation.
Yep. Yes. A lot of grooming and, yeah, abuse.
Yes.
Assault, sexual assault.
Yeah.
It's very graphic.
Yeah, Donnie gets fucked up on these drugs, and then this older writer-producer assaults him when he's almost catatonic.
Mm. The interesting, like, kind of theme that they go into, which is, again, so fucking honest of the show, is that Donnie kept going back and him struggling with, why did I keep going back?
Mm.
Oh, God. And so... yeah, so that's what that's what Ep 4 is about, is setting up Donnie's history and his past around his sexuality, around his trauma, around everything, like what's made him the kind of person he is now in his, like he's just, it sounds like he just never has a healthy relationship. He lied to Terry to get into Terry's good books. He's weirdly kind of obsessed at this stage with Martha. He like has shown here and there that he's like very attached to her in a really weirdly morbid way.
And it explains all of the times where he could have easily cut it off.
Yep.
And he didn't.
Yep. Because he has so much, he's been so fucked up and groomed by this writer who was singing his praises and giving him compliments. And then, like, I guess the payoff in Donnie's head was that I am being assaulted. Mm. Like, struggling with that mentality of the why did I go back is so fascinating. And God, it's so fucking, it's this is the guy. And the fact that this actor, Peter Gadd or whatever his name is.
Richard Gadd. Who's the actual comedian that's happened to?
Who's the actual person it's happened to is now reenacting.
Yeah.
He's in therapy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He said that he's done every kind of therapy. And he's like, none of it is, he's like, I'll never fully resolve what's happened.
Which I think is part of it.
So honest.
Mm.
I think it's so real. And the betrayal, like the honesty of him being, showing every single wart of the situation.
To the point of like, I've been like, I think I would have kept that to myself.
No, at no point is he like, I'm the full victim here.
No,
I'm a good guy. He really shows that he's like, this is such a fucked up, complex situation.
Mm.
Trauma makes you act in bizarre ways that are not
forever
morally
and
correct.
Ever. It's again not just in the moment the trauma happens, it bleeds into the rest of your life.
Yes.
And the relationships you form, the decisions you make. Because, yeah, as we said in last week, he could have stopped Martha day one.
Yeah.
And he constantly chose not to.
Mm.
And now if it's such a well-told show. It's like not till episode four that we're finding out why.
Yes.
He acts like that.
Yeah.
Oh.
And also something that I really respected was him being honest about, I did keep going back. Which is a situation that happens. And it's also a fear thing. It's like, what if I stop doing this? What's going to happen?
Exactly. And that's what grooming is, right? It's like this person has made, and we saw this in Quiet on Set, it's like this person has made themselves the victim's world.
Mm.
And they've convinced them that your only option, like he convinced Donnie, your only option to make it in this industry is to write with me. And the only way to write with me is to do this every weekend, which does not involve writing.
Yes, at all. And also him staying afterwards when it gets to the worst point of him staying afterwards and having a shower. Yeah, staying 2 days afterwards at the house and having a shower. And I was like, it's
so honest.
After it's like, as someone who's had history with sexual assault, and it is that thing of afterwards, it's like you are in shock of what's happened.
Mm.
Like you look back on how you behaved afterwards and you're like, what? Like, I'm bewildered. Because you just, like, you leave your body. You're not in your body and present and making good decisions because you just, you trying to wrap your head around what's happened, how it even happened.
Mm.
And so you do the performance of acting like a normal person because you're fine, convincing yourself that it didn't happen or what happened was normal.
Yep. Yeah, I can. That's exactly what I got from him sticking around for another couple of days. Did not shock me at all. I was like, I think that's him trying to justify what just happened as not assault and trying to get to a point where he can think, oh, that just happened. It was okay. Mm. This is still my friend. This person didn't betray me. Like sticking around, not just trying to get into a better headspace about it or convince yourself of something.
Yeah, it was like coming to terms with it of being like, oh my God, I was raped is such a horrific moment. And
one that a lot of victims never reach.
Yes. Yeah. And it's like, because then it's like, well, then you have to not only realize that that's happened, but deal with the fallout of the trauma, which is what we see, the huge reason that this entire situation happened is because he was so traumatized and fucked up that he let fucked up people into his life.
Yep.
I wrote down a line that
rung
with me so deeply, and I was like, oh, that is what it's fucking like. He said, abuse makes you sticking plastic for all of life's weirdos, an open wound for them to sniff at. Because in your head, you're like, I allowed myself to be treated that way and demeaned. So why the fuck would I shut anyone else out if I'm just a piece of fucking garbage to be thrown around?
Mm. And it's not even like consciously that. Like you're not even consciously thinking of that. That's just something that your subconscious is just constantly telling you.
Yeah.
You're not recognizing that's your self-talk. That's just what's happening on the inside.
Yes.
And it happens with all types of abuse, you know, like abusive relationships. You take so long to allow yourself to get into a healthy one after an abusive relationship is finished, even if it's not a sexually, you know, abusive situation, just any kind of abuse.
Mm.
Yeah.
This really was a dark but honest portrayal of it.
The honesty, like, this is the part where I was like, oh, God. Like, in the moment, I was like, I wish you didn't say that. But now I see why it needed to happen. But in the moment, as I was experiencing, I was like, I wish I didn't know that. The when he says he started masturbating over Martha.
Yeah.
That, for me, kicked it into a whole other territory.
Yes.
Like, he's being sexual about Martha now. It's not just the adoration, the obsession. He's fantasizing about her now.
It's like it's fucked up his relationship with sex and sexuality.
Oh.
And so now it's like he's, and also him being honest about being like, I just fucked everything and anything. And it was so unhealthy and just like didn't matter who it was, when it was, where it was. And it's like he's now has a compulsion. He has a sexual compulsion.
Yeah. But not in a sexy, gratifying way in a trauma-based...
Yes, of trying to just...
understand.
From my perspective, I understood it because I have had an experience of that, of just being like, if I fuck enough people, it'll leave my body. It'll be further down the line, but it won't count.
Yeah.
It'll just be a star in a universe of a billion fucking stars that I won't even notice in the corner.
And then it's very interesting. Again, I really love the way the story is told. Then we learn the context of when he does meet Terry, which is while he's going through all this fucked up stuff.
So yes.
Like now you're like, well, okay, that makes more sense why he was such an asshole and, you know, did the fake identity thing. He was in a black hole.
Yeah.
Like he hadn't come out the other side of or
holes.
Anything. Of holes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was right down the bottom of all
he
the holes.
He was not looking to fall in love or care about anyone. He literally just wanted to fuck.
Yeah.
So anyway, he gets a restraining order. Martha stops contacting him. He gets a little sad that Martha's not contacting him, which is like, again,
so interesting.
So fucked up. And then she starts contacting his family.
Yeah.
And so that just takes it to another level. Then it gets to a point where it's been going on for years. The police.
Like 2 years at this stage.
2 fucking years of this. And
this is his norm now. Like that's the thing that I also found really interesting is like, especially in Ep 7 where he just like it becomes his whole life again. It's like, this is his normal.
Mm.
He doesn't like, it's been 2 years of this woman constantly 24/7 in his ear or on his phone or in his email.
Mm. No, she didn't have his phone number yet. She just had his email.
Sorry, phone, email.
Yes.
Email on your
sent
phone.
Sent from my iPhone.
Yeah. And then sometimes just phone.
Yeah.
I thought that was very funny. I like that. You could tell where her mentality is with how she signs off.
Yeah.
How well she spells sent from my iPhone.
Oh. So after his family gets involved, the cops are like, we can't really do anything. He tries to correct the situation by coercing her into sending him a really fucked up email, which then the cop, and then she records him saying, trying to coerce her. Mm. Then the cop's like, well, now we can't protect you because you have tried to wrongfully
entrap her.
And so then the legal system is now the cops can't even save him.
Mm.
So he goes and does the comedy competition final and he has a full breakdown on stage.
Which has to be real, right? That must have happened. It didn't happen to him.
No.
Interesting. Because what I was going to ask you, if your thoughts, but it sounds like you actually know, where in the story of this show did we divert from history, what actually happened, and went into, because obviously we end not where he actually is in life.
Yes.
So I'm wondering, like, when did we divert? To me, it was, but it sounds like it was earlier than this. To me, we diverted when he confesses to his parents. He has that beautiful moment of not confessing, but coming out to his parents and telling them all about that.
Like, that made me cry.
The dad
revealing
his own story.
So what happens in the scene is he's like, and I want to let you know I was assaulted, and I didn't want to tell you this because I didn't want you to think I was any less of a man.
He says, do you think I'm less
of
a man?
Oh, I'm going to cry. Sorry.
Beautiful writing. I assumed that the diversion happened after that because in the story, in Ep 7, you kind of learn that he's doing okay. It sounds like he's doing okay.
He's
on the top of the world. He's just, you know, reconnected with his family. And then all of a sudden, Keely goes and visits him and he's got just the fucking psycho serial killer wall just full of...
Oh, she's convicted before then.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what happens is then... Wait, how does she get convicted?
Because she finally says a voicemail that threatens violence.
Yes.
So they can actually get her
on something. Yeah. The reveal of, like... I couldn't believe when they revealed in, like, episode 6 that it's the first time she called him.
Mm.
Like, this abuse has been going on so long. It's like she didn't even have his phone number.
All email. And then finally she gets his number and then she starts with the voicemails.
Yes.
And then he starts categorizing them.
And getting obsessed with that.
Do you reckon that happened?
Yes.
He did get obsessed?
Yes. Clearly this guy has an issue with addiction and compulsion, like compulsive behavior.
Big time.
Yeah. And I think that's he definitely did. Because also, how would you write this series without categorizing all of this? Like
true, yeah. You have to have some kind of ledger somewhere. a Google Doc.
To put this series out legally, I think you've got to have pretty extensive records.
True. Mm. That's a good point. That's a really good point.
Mm.
And then Keely says, this is not okay. I want you to come and stay with my mom again and just, you know, get your life back on track.
Mm. And she's like, what are you going to do with all this? And we know as the viewer, it's like, he's going to turn this into a show.
He's going to turn
it
into Netflix. This show. Meta. So did he not actually have a breakdown on stage?
He didn't know. There's footage of him working on the show earlier, but okay. There's people have tried to find the breakdown footage.
Interesting.
And they can't. There's footage of a set of his where people, like, you can hear Martha laughing in the background. Which I looked up that like 15 minutes after I finished the finale.
Yeah.
Don't, it makes it too real. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen that people are trying to find who she is and he's saying he's asked people to stop or something. I haven't looked into it.
Because she's not in in jail.
Yeah.
So the thing that diverts from reality is he never actually – there was no legal proceedings. She never actually went to jail for this.
What?
And he said it's because she's like, I wouldn't want to put someone through that process who's so clearly mentally unwell. He's like, but it's been resolved. And he hasn't said how, which I think is – fine in his want to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We'll eventually find out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's early days.
Yes.
It's only a week old.
Yes.
And so, how did you feel about the ending?
Okay, so, yeah, ending, he's writing the show and then you see him, like, recreationally listening to her voice notes as comfort, which I was like,
that's bad. You can't get back. You can't move back from that.
Something I liked and it made me so uncomfortable though is showing that it's like this trauma isn't going to leave him for a long time. It's
even
like,
with therapy, even with medication,
it's no
deep in him.
Point does he ever try to wrap this up in a neat bow? Mm. And he gets to a pub and he's listening to an unheard voice note of hers, and she reveals why she calls him Baby Reindeer.
And it's a personal story. It humanizes her. It's about her when she's a kid. Look, in that moment, I was like, still fuck you. I don't.
Yes.
You still ruined this man's life. But it really affects him.
Yes.
So much. And he has like a bit of a breakdown about it. He's crying.
At a bar. Mm-hmm. Actually, that is the one neat bow. I take it back. That is the one neat bow that was like, he's crying at a bar. The bartender gives him a drink. And then he's like, that'll be $7.50. And he's like, I've actually forgot my wallet. And the bartender says, on the house. And then he looks at the bartender with this like, oh, you're my angel look. That I was like,
so I don't know. I loved it. I think it was because it was a bow.
Finally, when he's given you no bows the entire series.
I thought it was fun because obviously that's not the actual ending. So he's managed to tell his story, but still be fictionalized in it. You know, this guy's managed to get his story out to the world, but still make it like the implication is that now he's going to become obsessed with the bartender in the way that Martha became obsessed with him. And that's,
oh, I didn't think that was the implication at all.
Really?
No, I think,
oh, interesting.
No, I think it was that he was showing how we're all, he's clearly in that moment so mentally unwell and none of us are, like, there's the possibility that all of us could end up as Martha, depending on the cards the universe deals you. Because even though he's super, like, at this point he's super unwell and he's super traumatized, and he's at the point where Martha was, where she came into the bar, and he's realizing that in the moment that it's happening to him, where she came in at the bottom of the hole of her mental health, and through this decision, her life changed. I think it was showing that we all have the capacity
hit rock bottom.
Yes, to hit rock bottom. Yeah. I did not think that he was then going to get obsessed with a bartender. I think it was a moment of realization to him that she is a person who is just deeply, deeply mentally unwell and has been dealt the worst cards in life, which I think was a really nice sympathetic tone to end it on, particularly now knowing that he is like, I didn't actually go through with legal proceedings because I realized that she is just someone who's unwell.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I really like the writing of that.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. I totally took it as like a little moment of like, oh, is what's about to happen? Am I about to become obsessed with this bartender in the same way that Martha became obsessed with me? I thought that was really fun.
And did you think that would be like a season two?
That's what I meant by season two earlier.
Oh, okay.
I was like, oh, I can, yeah, I can, just as it obviously not a true, based on a true story anymore, but just as a fictionalized version. I thought that was really fun. I was like, ah, that's cute.
Oh, okay. You know, I hope they don't do a season two of this and that doesn't happen at all, because I was like, dude, this cunt, literally, what could he do if there's a season, like, the next season of him being a stalker? I'm like, this man would have to go to jail.
Yeah.
This point is like, of course he's done stuff being traumatized, but he did stuff in this series that I was like, fuck, cunt, that is on the line of legal.
Yeah. Yeah. What a show. What a show.
I think it's brilliant, and it's really cool to see a show that is this honest and real. And again, it ties back to my thing of there is a real thirst for honesty and authenticity at the moment within art.
And I think it's in not really a performative way.
Yes.
Because this did not feel performative. Like, you can, mm-mm, you can, there's so much, especially like around influencers and podcasting and stuff, where like, I'm being real, I'm being honest, I'm being authentic. Mm. But you're just putting across what it's so fucking basic at this point, but you're just putting, or you're saying the things that you want people to perceive of you.
Yeah.
You're being honest about your failings, but still masking it or structuring it in a way where you kind of come out on top or you're admired for it.
It's crazy how every story you tell, even though you're being real and honest, you are the hero and you actually haven't done anything wrong.
Yeah, and I think that happens so much these days with social media. Mm. Whereas his story, he actually did not want us to like him.
Yeah.
Like, at points.
It's crazy to see someone rise in the public eye who is like, I am a bad person. Mm. And we were like, sick.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, good. We're not going to find out later on.
Yeah, he's reverse engineered it. He's like, here it all is.
And it shows an awareness of that, of like how clued in the public is. It's like, you can't hide this stuff because it's just going to come back to haunt you. And that's also displayed in the show.
Exactly.
Shout out to Jessica Gunning, by the way, who played Martha.
Oh, yes. Come on. We got to get some fucking Golden Globes and Emmys up their way next year, surely.
Oh, my God.
This year.
Oh. She was amazing. Mm. I also wonder, so this is my little theory, of like, because you know how everyone's like, there's footage of Martha laughing in the audience. He would have other footage and recordings of her. Did Jessica Gunning get to listen to that laugh? Did she get to listen to these recordings and everything?
He's got hundreds and hundreds of voicemails.
In order to work off the character.
Surely. Surely.
Maybe.
See, now that we're finished, I've been avoiding any media about it, like interviews and all that, because I just didn't want a spoiler of what happens.
Yes, yeah.
Now that we've finished it, I'm going to deep dive into some background shit.
Look, although he was like, don't go looking for the stalker, did I look at some Reddit threads?
Yeah.
And some tweets.
I found a name that people seem to think was the lady.
Yeah.
But I didn't go further than that.
Yeah. I think I hope everyone's smart enough to not contact her with how mentally unwell she would be.
I have a feeling that, unlike Taylor Swift, he actually has left out enough identifying marks that we won't figure out who she is.
Yes.
Surely. Yeah. There's got to be some legal thing around that.
Yeah.
Surely. Anyway.
Anywho's.
Well, that's Baby Reindeer. Let us know what you think,
yes,
please. I hope you're all okay.
Yeah, and tell us what we should watch next. Mm. And we're going for a fun one, please.
Yes.
Would be great.
I do love a limited series, mini series. I love where kind of media is going with this kind of like limited 7-ep series, just a really fucking strong story in one go.
Yes. Half hour eps, bring them back. Bring them, the pacing of this, 5 stars.
Yes. All right.
Well, that was this week's episode of Screen Queens. You can follow us on all of our socials, Screen Queens Pod, full video episodes on YouTube.
On YouTube.
If you're already watching us on YouTube, thank you. Rate, and subscribe, please.
Love you. I just popped my tit out.
Oh.
You'll have to head over to YouTube to see that.
We're really trying to get the views up.
We love you.
Love you. Bye.